Well, if you go in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, in the end of that letter is really the close of the two letters of 1 and 2 Corinthians as a package. In 2 Corinthians 13, there's a verse we visited several months back, but it needs to be expanded out a little bit. And the point of this time we're going to look at in the Word is to understand what the genuine work of the ministry is. You all, every one of God's people, needs to be equipped with what the genuine work of the ministry is so that they can recognize any and all counterfeits. The better you know the genuine, the better you'll recognize the counterfeits. The ministry, if it's genuine, is marked by the genuine gospel. Unless you know what the genuine gospel is, you will be duped. You will be deceived by anything that comes in as a counterfeit. The Word says so. You know, when we don't have the truth, you get absorbed into the lie. That's the way it works. So God, through the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, equipped the saints with what the gospel is. So the Apostle Paul, of course, being one of the apostles, laid out what the gospel is and told the Corinthian saints in these two letters, 1 and 2 Corinthians, that they need to make sure that they are in the gospel. Make sure that you are about Christ and his work. And you have this laid out here in chapter 13 and verse 5. It says, test yourselves to see if you are in the what?
Faith.
The faith. Well, what is the faith? Well, it's described in a variety of ways. One is the gospel. One is Christ. Another one is the truth. Another one is the love of God, the grace. I mean, the list goes on. The faith, if you want to give it, attach it to a message, it would be the gospel. The gospel tells us what the faith, the way we're supposed to believe, tells us what it's all about. So test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. Test your own selves. How can you tell? How can you tell? Well, that's where I want to go with this. If you back up a few chapters to chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, there is a specific way to test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. God has given the arrangement of the faith, the gospel, reality in Christ, which we spend a lot of time with in this ministry. By the way, what I'm proclaiming to you right now today is what the genuine ministry is all about. Therefore, I have made it my life's course to duplicate this. Right or wrong in anybody's eyes, it no longer matters to me. If everybody wants to go down with the ship of the lie, it's their choice. The truth is going to stand throughout all of eternity. Paul's ministry lives on today because the truth was his ministry. Anything other than the truth gets melted away by the truth to the degree that person or that group has the truth. Apart from the truth, the lie is going to control your life. The system out there is so deceptive, it says that he, the deceiver, deceives all the nations. All the nations. So the deceiver is out there. The truth makes known what he is going to be doing, how he's going to be attacking the saints. The rest of the world, they don't have a choice. But the saints are the ones that are under attack. They're the only ones that can stand in the truth and, you know, put out the enemy from his functionings and doings. So the more the truth lives, the more the darkness gets pushed away. So Paul chose to make his life's course what he was given to do, which was be about and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of the faith. So in his words in these epistles, you have the laying out of just that. So we saw he's telling these saints who he is ministering to test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Put yourselves to the test. How do you do that? Well, you have to know what the faith is, right? Do you think that way? Are you governed by it? When you come up with a challenge, what do you run to for strength? When you need help, what do you go to for that help? Is it reality in Christ? Well, then you pass the test. If it's other than, well, there's growth to be done. The gospel doesn't live yet big enough in that area. See it? So he says, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Well, look at this section in 2 Corinthians, same letter, verse 13. Verse 12 leading into it. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Now he's talking about this service, which the James, Peter, and John had told him to, you know, go do the ministry work with Barnabas, but remember the poor saints that are at Jerusalem and collect monies and bring them back to Jerusalem. So he's saying that's what I'm doing. I'm following their direction. The scriptures never say that he was right to do this. It just says that he followed their direction. Verse 13, because of the proof, by the way, I'm not saying that he wasn't following God's direction. What I'm saying is the scriptures never say that that's what God directed him to. Every reference to him doing this was because James, Peter, and John told him to do so. And that the direct statement of that is Galatians 2:10. That's not the purpose of what we're going to handle here, but if you want the reference, James, Peter, and John told him to do this. So he's doing it in obedience to them. So verse 13 says, because of the proof given by or of this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. Okay, this is the verse we want to diagnose. I gave this to you in a better translation. This is pretty good here in the NASB. The King James chops it up really badly. Matter of fact, I barely got out of there what the verse is saying. But this verse essentially is saying, through the proof of this service, see the NASB, because of the proof given by this ministry, or the proof of this ministry, the word proof is to put to the test, to try it out. The testing out of the ministry to see if it's genuine is, what is it producing in the saints? What is it producing? You put any ministry to the test, look at the people who are sticking with that minister or that ministry. What is it producing? Well, Paul is boasting in this ministry producing these effects in these saints. What is the effects? Well, through the proof of this service, they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ. Your obedience to the confession. What are the words amongst the saints in any group? What should be the words of the saints all over the earth about their obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ? I don't care what is going on in my finger. God says, by Jesus Christ's stripes, I've been made healed, made whole. I don't care what so-and-so thinks of me. God says, I am righteous in his sight, holy and without blame. What is our obedience to? What do we submit to? Obedience is submission. See, and this is how you test yourselves. What is your obedience to? The confession of the gospel of Christ. It's interesting. It doesn't say the manifestation of the gospel of Christ. It says the confession of it. The word confession is a great compound word. Homo legeo. Homo is the same. Like you homogenize milk, they spin it until the molecules become one. One. The same. Homo legeo. Same. You know, homosexual, of the same sex. Homo. Homo legeo. Legeo is to say or to speak. So to speak or say the same. That's what this word confession means. Some translations handle it profession. Like you profess, you know, by saying such and such. Profess that you are a Christian. You profess that you're a son of God. So your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, not the living of it, not the doing of it, but to the saying the same according to it. Why? Because the saying the same according to it produces that thought in your brain and in those that hear you, and it will produce its intended effects. So he is saying the proof of this ministry, this service, they will glorify God. Why? For your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, saying the same as the gospel of Christ. So you have to know what that gospel is, don't you? That's why we continue to proclaim what that gospel message is here. Why? So that you know what it is. And knowing what it is, you can recognize a counterfeit, anything that's contrary. I used to think it was all about me having more faith. It's not. It's about the gospel of Christ being understood and held in my brain and spoken in reality. Confession to the gospel of Christ and what that produces, and your generosity in sharing with them and with others. Thinking one body. See a need in the body of Christ, you just take care of it. These two things are the manifestation of the proof of the ministry. I didn't write it. It's right there in the verse. So when they're putting themselves to the test, what do they have to test themselves with? Are they in obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and in their generosity toward the saints, taking care of the saints? Do you think of yourself as one with the saints? If not, the gospel's not living in you to that degree, and you fail that test that it's talking about in that chapter 13, verse 5. Do you see how this works? It's all saying the same thing. Paul, his ministry was to proclaim the gospel. That's what it was all about. Does anybody have a question about that? Okay, so every counterfeit out there is to have the looks of, the appearance of a Christ-like church, having that name, even having a cross. But what are they confessing? Is the work of the ministry having a produce, having an effect? If it is, then their obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ will be there. And ultimately, it will produce a sharing amongst the saints. Like Dana corrected me the other day. You know, I asked him if I can borrow something. Or I can't remember what I was going to borrow. Say it was a chainsaw. I can't remember what it was now. Dana, can I borrow your chainsaw? It's not my chainsaw. It's our chainsaw. See, Dana was living out that second part of that verse, passing that part of the test. I failed that part of the test at that moment. The gospel wasn't living in me at that time. Do you understand? It's not like, oh yeah, it's in so-and-so and it's always there. And it's in this, it's not in this person and it's never there. That's not it. It's where is the gospel living in our thinking? Where it is, we will confess accordingly the gospel of Christ, and we will be sharing amongst the saints. There it is, right there in the book. How do you pass the test? There it is. So first, we have to know what that gospel is. This was Paul's ministry. Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Proclaim that grace that came through him. Okay, there are many, many counterfeits out there. The big one pushed today is, you know, feelings, emotionalism, what God is trying to communicate to you at the moment. That is not the focus of Paul's letters. Can you find me, can anybody come up with in your mind a verse that talks about God leading your every thought in what you're going to do, or God giving you information on what you're going to do? We talked about this just recently, Jacqueline. And I just had a conversation with somebody on the phone the other day about this also. See, I'm not clear. God's not telling me what to do. Well, that's not what Paul said needs to happen. What's the passing of the test? The confession according to the gospel of Christ, and is it producing a sharing amongst the saints? That's the test. Now, God will, as you get acclimatized to his thoughts, the gospel of Christ, you will see God working in you in more clarity as you live your life. But that's not to be the focus. And this is one of the counterfeit twists, that becomes the focus. But what did Paul say? What is the genuine work of the ministry? That our confession would be according to that gospel. And then we would share as a family. See it? So an obvious one is the law of Moses. It's another big counterfeit. You know, that we're under the law of Moses. Well, the more tricky one is under any law. You know, you need to quit smoking. You need to quit drinking coffee. You need to, I don't know, start drinking alcohol. Whatever the law is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the law is. If it is some kind of system for success or failure, then it's contrary to Christ. If you are going to adhere to some kind of law, some kind of legalism, Galatians 5 very clearly says you've severed yourself from Christ. Ouch is right. That's a major ouch. Now, in that thought, I'm going to, if I do this, I'll be successful, and if I don't, I'll fail. Or if I do this, I'm right. If I don't, I'm wrong. If I do this, I'm good. If I don't, I'm bad. Anything along those lines is legalism. Let's look at that. It's the next book, Galatians 5, just so you can see it. Now, this is regarding law in the context. The context is Paul's trying to lead them out of legalism and into liberty that's in Christ. So, again, chapter 5, like the rest of the chapters in this letter of Galatians, verse 1 starts out, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm in what? The freedom. And do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Then if you go to verse 4, "You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law." Now, is that severed from Christ positionally? No. But in practice? Absolutely. Now, how do we know this? Well, because once somebody believes on Christ, they're called a saint, made holy. How can man make unholy what God has made holy? How can man make unrighteous what God has made righteous? Right? So it's not talking about our position in Christ. This is talking about in practice and function. So if legalism gets a grip, what happens is, verse 7, 8, and 9. Well, you can just go to verse 7. "You were running well. You were adhering to the gospel of Christ. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you." It's not from God. "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." A little leaven, a little bit of legalism overtakes somebody. A little bit of legalism in a church ministered by somebody overtakes the church. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I'm not writing this. I'm just saying what's being said, right? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. This is the minister Paul for our sakes. Legalism, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So this is one of the big attacks that we deal with in the body of Christ, an attack on the gospel of Christ. That we would be obedient to the confession of the gospel of Christ, to say what it says and not take in some, "Well, if I just pray more." Who says that? Did God say that in here? No. "Oh, if I read my Bible more," I know, I'm going to get up earlier and read my Bible more. And then when do you get up early enough?
Or I do read my Bible enough, so good for me.
Well, either side, success or failure.
Yeah.
But usually we're dealing with the failure part. But yeah, that comes into play too.
Yeah.
Success or failure. Like, you know, one of the saints years ago said, the pluses and minuses are both bad.
Yeah.
You know, the rights and wrongs, good and bad. It's all bad because it's succeed if you do, fail if you don't. Either side of that is not in Christ. And that little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. One of the ways you'll recognize legalism, it's bondage. Right? Verse 1 told us, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery or bondage." This freedom in Christ produces freedom of the heart. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's bondage? No, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Right? 2 Corinthians 3:17. That's what it says. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, not bondage. So if you're feeling bondage, like not being good enough, like feeling like you have to do, well, you're being set up here, saints. And that little bit of leaven will leaven the whole lump. It'll either leaven your whole life or it gets into a church, it'll ruin the church. Because it severs you from Christ. We are reliant upon Christ and his work and his work only. And any genuine ministry will proclaim that without any additives. It's Christ and his work. Christ and his work. See why? Because the previous chapter here in Galatians, see verse 19, this is the goal of the genuine ministry. "My children," Galatians 4:19, "my children with whom I am again in labor until" what? "Christ is formed in you." Christ. Not Jesus. not his name, the man, it's Christ, the title, the reality of all that he represented. Remember, the plan and purpose of God was purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All that plan and purpose of God, that you would be redeemed from sin, that you would be sanctified, that you would be made holy now and forever, that you have been perfected forever, that nobody can hold anything against you ever. You and God are good to go forever, no matter what you say, do, or think, good or bad. The resting upon that, Christ being formed in you, that's the genuine work of the ministry. And so that's what we will endeavor to do, we being any genuine minister. And I will comfortably, not boastfully, but comfortably place myself in that category. Why? How do we know that? Are you, or are anybody, is anybody, any ministry about obedience, submission to the confession of the gospel of Christ? That's the number one key right there. The second can easily be counterfeited. I tell you, you ought to give more. You ought to give more. You ought to, you know, do this more. But when the gospel is living in, it will produce this sharing amongst the saints. It produces it. Not because we're being told we should, but because it's so living in, you can't help but. You become a conduit, so to speak, of the resources of God toward the church or any individual in the church. And some of you, because the gospel is living in you, God has targeted somebody in your heart that you would target the resources of God living in you toward them. And you know it. Like you want to help somebody. Why do you want to help them? Help them with what? To bring them to church? Or that the gospel would live in them? That they would get genuine deliverance? Well, who's working that work in you? Because the gospel lives in, therefore it will live out from. Man, this is a... Without going into about 4 hours of this stuff, I think that about sums it up. See, the test is, are we obedient to the confession of the gospel, saying the same as the gospel? That's the big key right there. That's the testing of the faith, to see if we're in the faith or not. So it's, and then think about it. How do you feel that you test yourself whether you're in the faith or not? Whether you're right with God or not. How do you determine good with God? Success with God? Is it by how many people you witness to? Was Paul right, or are you right? Because if you're thinking that, that's contrary to what Paul said as an apostle. You know, is it cleaning your room good enough, Kayla? You know, getting good enough grades at school? Is that it? Is that success? Or is it what Paul said? Obedience to the confession of the gospel. I might have got an F in history, but I've got an A with God every single time. Right? Yeah, Barbara.
I always think of subjection being directly under to receive.
Good.
So the obedience is going out forward toward the answer of God, toward what God wants. So you as you enter a ministry, you are entering in under subjection because you know you're under Christ, okay? And then the obedience is the grand... However you want to say, I reach God through faith, or however, the faith of the Word of God. So it opens unto your heart because God is speaking to you through His Word. And that's a big difference between the very beginning of where we start.
You mean subjection?
Yeah, the subjection
versus
is,
obedience.
Oh, I could be a poor soul, right, in subjection. I could be, there are many things that I don't know God, but I'm in subjection. And then how will I ever reach out, you know, more and more, because I don't know as much word, because it's a beginning thing for me. So you are under subjection for a learning period. And then you're being raised up in Christ.
Right. Well, see, one of the big tricks, in light of what you said, one of the big tricks the adversary pawns off on those that do know the gospel is that they see that, okay, people need to hear this. So the horizontal becomes the focus rather than the vertical. Do you understand? Knowing what God has said is true in Christ, being obedient to the confession of that, and it will produce the horizontal. I mean, there's a bunch. This stuff's all over the place. God has set it up that His love living in will produce His love living out. When you read the word love in the Bible, be careful, because most of us have been taught to read it as love from us out to others. But most of, by far, the uses of that word love in the Bible is all about God's love toward us through Christ. Because God knows that as that lives in, it will produce an outcrop of the same. Seed produces after its kind. The seed being cultivated in you, being obedient in submission to the gospel of Christ, will produce an outcrop, which is, you know, generosity toward the saints. Yeah, it's neat. So is that, I don't know how much that fits with what you're saying, Barb.
Yeah.
But yeah, the subjection kind of is different with the obedience, in that subjection is, you know, you appoint yourself under, but obedience is the same in that. But obedience seems to produce something. Like Jesus Christ humbled himself, becoming obedient. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death. See, like you're saying, the obedience is unto something.
Yeah.
So as we are obedient to the confession of the gospel, it will produce an outcrop of the gospel. See, we don't make our lives blessed. God does. How does he do that? By our submission to the truth. The truth lives in and it causes these outward blessings. It just causes them. I love that, man. On every turn, it seems. I got this, using this board, and I hit the ground with it. And it jammed this splinter into my finger, but I thought it just came out when I pulled my finger off of the board, you know? So thought it came out, it was fine, went to bed. Next morning I woke up and I went, oh, that's a little sore. Well, by noon, I couldn't bend my finger, the joint where the splinter was. So our splinter puller, Felicity. By the way, she's great at that if you ever get a splinter. You don't even know she's pulling it out when she's pulling it out. So anyway, I talked to Felicity, and she said, Dad, there's something in there, but it's really deep. You should soak it. So I don't know why. At that point, I just went to the cross with it. It was like, God, you know, I can't have this hindering what, you know, you need me to do for you. So I soaked it like she said, and then she, you know, played a little bit. She said, yeah, you just got to, you know, soak it more, but it's really deep. So I'm like, cool. It's like, I already dressed it with a cross. I'm good to go. So I go to bed. I wake up the next morning, and I'm like, nothing's there. Whatever it was gone. I don't know how it came out. I don't know what the deal was, but it was gone. But see, it's the gospel living in. When my mind went to the cross, it produced a power out from. Fingers, raising the dead. It's all the same to God.
It's all the same power.
You know, kidneys just appearing out of nowhere.
Disappearing.
Or disappearing, either way. Whatever the case. See, the power living in produces a power out from. And the biggest power isn't seen by the majority.
No.
That you know that you are holy and without blame. Therefore, you think as one. That's being freed up. Any attack of the adversary has no strength against one who knows he's holy and without blame. The enemy has no ploy that will work. You know you're one with the Father and nothing can break that. He has nothing against you. Oh, I thought you were raising your hand. Thanks, Jacqueline.
Can we ever abuse that? Like, because we're co-heirs with Christ. And
oh, yes.
We have all this power. And is there any time that we can use it too much? Like, because I walk around kind of self-thinking, okay, that's not a Christ, be gone, kind of thing. Like, it's not this hocus pocus kind of thing. Can
right.
Can use it too much? Can you see what I'm saying?
I think so. So, in other words, the hocus pocus thing, I just say these magic words and it... Wow. That's gracious.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. At what point am I abusing that?
Well, think of an earthly father, and this is where I see the heart of God in his word, is he gives this grace. He wants, if you want to use the word abuse, he wants us to abuse it. When the grace is used, God is glorified through Jesus Christ. So the more we utilize this grace, the more we put it on, the more he gets honored and recognized, because who caused that work to produce? He did. So you cannot overdo. Does that make sense in light of what you said? Yeah, it's really great. The more it just honors him. Yeah, Dana, and then Larry, can you hold on a second? Okay, Dana, before you explode, let it out.
Poops his pants.
Yes, he does.
Piss you off.
No.
Do it. You take care of him, right? He gets hungry. He screams. He wakes up in the middle of the night.
Three times.
You get mad. Does he do that too many times? So many times that you just want to You ready?
No.
You think God's going to do that to you?
No.
That's for sure. That's another angle on it too, yeah.
Yeah.
You can never, never utilize this grace enough, because the more you do, it honors the God who created it all. That's why I love what Danny used to tell me when I first met him. Yeah, we trust God for parking spots. You know, the first thought was, well, you know, okay, trust him for parking spots. It's kind of cool. But it's really relying on God as your source for everything. Everything. Why? Because Christ accomplished it all, connected us to him. Now he's our source for everything. How about emotions? How about, you know, sexual desires? You know, you young kids coming up with sexual desires. Who's going to satisfy that, you or God? Who can do it better? In marriage, out of marriage, same problem. Right? Or emotions, feelings. Who's your supplier to take care of you? It's cool. Really cool. So in every area, the more that's done, Jacqueline, the more he's honored and glorified. It seems odd to us, but imagine if you give Caleb, he's in college, you give him a bunch of money and he disregards it because he doesn't want to abuse the privilege. He just gives the money away. You gave it to him for his benefit and he just gives it away, which he could, you know, because it's a gift. It's like us. But God wants us to utilize it, to live in it. That's why he blesses. See, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Blessed us. He's so blessed because he blessed us. So he wants us to live in that.
That's the point, like, being you can't outuse his love.
No, never. Never, never, never. And Larry, you had something.
Well, I guess I can't tie it to the two, but going back to what you said, and the finger thing, one of the things that helps is that we have that environment of truth. Because I remember a similar situation, different circumstances, you know, some kind of weakness in my body, and I went like 12 hours without even considering it. You know, I just kind of went to bed, and it's like, okay, whatever, just did what you do when you get this problem. You know, woke up the next morning, and about noon the next day, I'm thinking, man, I've spent like the last 12 hours not thinking in Christ about this. Just like kind of living it out.
Yep.
And then truth was introduced to my mind. In this case, it was, you know, another saint. And it was just one word. So, but the point is, it could be one word. It could be a two-hour-long conversation. It could be a teaching tape. It could just be around another saint. And that reminder of truth. Because, you know, I know I would venture to say that a far majority of us, not every one of us, if we knew you had a problem, we would have addressed it. And not let you just go on, because a lot of times our minds, if truth is not there, then it's just going to go down its trail and never think about truth in light of this little thing called a splinter.
Right.
Which of course is not a little thing to our Father. He loves us just as much if it's a splinter or if it's, you know, World War III.
Right.
What did you say? Oh, yeah. So, you know, that having those continual reminders of reality, truth.
Yeah, with our obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, then who else gets affected? Anybody that hears it. Like, somebody was obedient to the confession of the gospel that took care of Larry in that situation. One word, but it's all it took. Don't underestimate the power of our Father's words off your lips. Major deal. Wait till we see with the return of Jesus Christ how big it was when it was nonchalant to you. Oh, that's not what God has done in Christ. Yada, yada, yada. And you say something to somebody, and you're just making coffee or whatever, and you go on your way. That changes the course with the words. The power of God changes the course anywhere somebody submits to that. Larry said something about 3 mornings ago. You know, he's talking about something. And man, it so triggered a trail in my brain, I've been feeding on it ever since. It's been great. I don't even think Larry knew the impact of those words. Do we ever?
Do that little thing with the dot and the circle.
Yes, there's another one.
Just absolutely. And it's a little thing. It's a circle with a dot in it.
Yeah.
Deal. But what you taught me that represented, that's what. And you know, that's a great focus, to just to know that, you know, everything's attacking that circle, but you're in that circle in Christ.
Yeah.
You're in the center of Christ. And other stuff can't affect you. It can bug you, maybe. But it cannot take away your righteousness. It cannot take away who you are in Christ. It cannot take where you're seated in the heavens. You're there, your position, and nothing.
Yeah.
Because who can separate us from the love of God?
Nobody, nothing. That's it. So, in light of all this, keep putting yourself to the test. See it? Is our life, are we in submission to the confession of the gospel of Christ? That's the key right there. So it will produce everything else. Thanks, Father. Boy, that's a big deal.
Yes,
it is. Well, someone close with a word of prayer.
Father, thank you for the clarity of the truth, Father, and thank you for the continual encouragement that you give us directly as well as indirectly through our brothers and sisters, the written truth, and also our apostle and brother Paul. Father, and thank you. Thank you that it is the power of God and it is the only source for life. It is the only source for the solutions for our problems, our issues, and every circumstance that comes up. Amen.
Amen. Cool.